Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Amazing Grace Rewind podcast, the podcast where we rewind back in time to watch the earliest seasons of The Amazing Grace for the first time. My name is Andrew.
And I'm Jill.
And we're here today with the second episode of the fourth season of The Amazing Race, which came out in 2003, I believe. I don't know what the exact date. When was this airing? Let's do a quick Google search.
Just don't spoil it for yourself.
June 5th, 2003. So summertime broadcast, The Amazing Race Season 4, Episode 2. Okay. So Jill, overall, what were your thoughts about this episode? I know we were a little bit negative about episode 1, not overwhelmingly positive, but any changing opinions about episode 2?
I liked that it really just kept tossing the teams up in a salad. I'm going to continue as if you aren't laughing at me. I liked that we got, like, there was the, what's the word? You're still laughing. The orders and the placements, the team rankings, the positions that the teams were in going into this, almost 100% different at the end of the leg, which was really nice to see, because I think they've caught on to that after two or three seasons of that being a trend, and they're really trying to shake it up. There were about two muster points, honestly. And the detour was really strong, I felt, as in there wasn't one way that was... It felt very, very evenly weighted. That being said, I was overall pretty underwhelmed by the episode. I don't know. What did you think?
You know what? I thought it was fun. Venice, fun location. We love to see it. The canals. But there was the one big grouping up muster point, as you put it, after the detour, before the roadblock, which just completely neutralizes everything and just caught all the teams up at once, because they arrived at, what, like 10 a.m., but then the roadblock didn't open until 5 p.m.? I guess the solid salad tossing then happened then, because everybody, the final placements were determined by the roadblock.
Yeah, and I don't know how I feel about that, honestly.
Yeah, because the detour was meaningless, the flights were meaningless, everything was meaningless, pointless, but the roadblock was fun.
It all came down to the roadblock. Yeah, the roadblock, honestly, I know I said I kind of only liked the tasks themselves were pretty cool, but the rest of the episode felt very mundane.
Okay, so orienting ourselves at the start of the episode, we are starting at the Dolomites. Is it Dolomites? Dolomites at Hotel La Jadira, where we finished off last time. And we're starting with our big power alliance of the season with Steven, Josh, Amanda, and Chris, Millie, and Chuck all departing at 11:52.
Yeah, they're departing basically at midnight, which I would be concerned about because that could really set you back. And it's weird because they're told to go to, what is it called?
Trampolino Olimpico.
Yes. And there's this... Basically, it's a ski jump and they get to raft down the hill. But it's such a weird alliance, because even at that, like, I would think at some point you just got to say, hey, we're going to look up for ourselves now. Bye. But no, they just stick together. And I don't like that.
They really stick together. I mean, I didn't like knee-jerk reaction. I didn't like it either. But I guess like it's early enough in the season and like there are enough teams that I think it's fine. And it could be beneficial to be in a three-person alliance at the front of the pack. At the beginning, like, I don't think it's a horrible move to make.
It's not a bad move. I'm just, I don't know. It felt weird because it's like one team. Basically, they go to this Trampolino Olimpico, as Andrew said.
Yeah.
And it's one team at a time. You go up to the top of the ski jump and you take like a raft down the ski hill. And every team waited for the other team at the bottom of the hill. And I would be like, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, thanks so much for the help, but like I don't know.
But I think also it's like a navigation thing.
True.
Because it's like, oh, we can all help each other navigate. And because if you get lost when you're by yourself, like there's kind of nothing you can do. But if you're lost in a group, at least you know you still have a chance to beat out these other two teams, I guess. Yeah. So that's kind of the upside of alliances. But I was kind of shocked that this task was open so late at night. Like in the middle of the night, people are snow rafting down a ski jump hill at 2 a.m.
But if you think about it, like, ski hills are always open late because they always have lots of lighting and stuff.
But this isn't like a ski hill. It's just like, it seemed like, is it a tourist attraction that it's like a ski jump hill from the Olympics, you know?
Maybe it worked out. I mean, because they can't predict when this is going to be open, honestly, like, because they can't predict when the first team is going to come in.
Yeah. So I guess they just really paid a fee and said, okay, you guys are going to be open all the time. Okay, so each team, as they get going, each team they get like a little intro to say something about our teams. And I think this is kind of interesting because it gives us an idea of what the producers want us to think of the teams based off of like what they're saying. So Steve and Josh get the first one saying that they disliked each other, quote unquote, immensely. They couldn't stand each other, but they seem to be fine by now. Millie and Chuck are three things: competitive, stubborn, and virgins. So write that down. And the last of this trio, Chris and Amanda, Chris upsets Amanda with his attitude. So those are kind of the gists of those three teams.
That's all you need to know, basically.
Yeah. So that they get to the ski hill, and only one team can go to the top of the hill at a time. So they all arrive and be like, who's going first? And Chuck's just like, I'll go first. Which is like...
Whereas I would be like, we're going first.
I know. This is like, I'm not saying who's going first. I'm saying we're sprinting.
Yeah.
Okay, so this task does look actually incredibly fun. Going down a ski jump hill in like an inflatable dinghy.
It looked so much fun. And honestly, I think all the teams enjoyed it. We'll get to, I believe it was Kelly and John a little later. Because that was... that was a whole thing. But...
You know what? Kelly was good. I came to appreciate Kelly this episode. I think she was a star.
I honestly, this episode, I kind of lost...
You lost her.
Lost everyone, I felt. It just felt very like... I was just very removed from everything.
Okay. Wow.
Anyway.
So the first teams finished this little snow tubing task. And they're told to take a train to Ponte della Guglia bridge in Venice.
Say that one more time, Andrew.
No, I'm not doing it. I don't even know if what I wrote down was like actually it. So there are two different trains that they can go to, one of which being faster than the other.
Sorry, I need to find the right name for this bridge. Oh, like Ponte Delle, D-E-L-L-E, next word, G-U-G-L-I-E?
Sure, yeah. That's not how I spelled it.
Guglia.
Oh, Guglia?
Guglia. Ponte Delle Guglia. I like Ponte Delle Guglia.
Guglia, yeah.
So they have to go to Venice, to Ponte Delle Guglia.
So we go away from those teams for a sec, and we go to the next three teams that are departing. First of which, Monica and Cherie at 12:49 a.m. And they are strong women, even though they're married to professional athletes.
Yes, they are here to make a point.
Okay, Steve and Dave next, departing about 15 minutes after at 1:05 a.m. And are concerned about their knees. Quote, we're both hurt already.
Yeah, they both have some bad knees that are really... given them some trouble, so they're hoping for an easy leg. No pun intended.
An easy leg.
No, I didn't say an easy leg. I said an easy leg. The pun was on leg.
Oh, I thought the pun was an easy leg.
That's awful.
So double pun. Okay. Kelly and John are leaving 11 minutes after Steve and Dave. They are engaged. Kelly's saying that she doesn't want to let John down and wants to show him that his life with her can just be as good as his bachelorhood. I thought Kelly was fun in this little confessional. I saw the appeal. I thought she was animated. She had a little attitude, a little bit of snark. And you know what? I was clapping. RRR.
RRR.
And this is where a taxi drops Kelly and John at the top of the hill, but they were supposed to... be dropped at the bottom of the hill and take the van up
to then take the
raft down. But they're at the top of the hill, so John takes some initiative here.
They just go for it. And Steve and Dave are at the bottom of the hill. And it's the funniest thing because there's this music playing over it all. And it's Steve and Dave standing at the bottom like, who are those two idiots? Cut back to Kelly and John. then back to Steve and Dave. They are so stupid. Cut back to Kelly and John. And I have a quote. And because Steve and Dave are like, who is that? Like, who's doing that? And at one point they go, oh, that's Kelly and John. Wow. I did not think they were that stupid. And the thing is, he's dead serious. Like, it's not even like a joke. He's like fully like, wow, they are stupid.
I know. It was so well done because they were just like cutting back and forth from like Kelly screeching and screaming, going, ah! while she's sliding down this hill to Steve and Dave's commentary on it.
Very unimpressed. Back and forth. Yeah, they were not happy. Like, genuinely not impressed.
Yeah. They didn't seem to find the entertainment in it.
No.
Not like us. But I thought this was a really hilarious moment.
It was.
And, like, the way she goes down the hill, too, it was really good.
Yeah, it was good entertainment.
Absolutely ridiculous. Everybody does this little task, and Kelly and John decide to take the bus to the train station, as opposed to taking a taxi, which everybody else does. And one of them says, quote, can you take us to the bus station?
Okay, I wrote this down too. It kills me, though, because she says in full American accent, can you take us to the, and then decides to, that maybe the Italian one, if she goes, bus station. Can you take us to the bus station?
The bus station.
It's like, that's not helping. Yeah, it's like, you're still speaking English. Like,
it's so much worse. It's kind of giving Kim and Leslie Yellow E Blanca in France. Okay. John and Al are leaving are at 1:22 a.m. Or I guess they're starting at 1:22 a.m. And they are morale makers. They, quote, do crazy things to keep the spirit up. Yeah. And if you don't recall, John and Al are our rodeo clowns. Russell and Cindy...
not rodeo clowns, Andrew.
Oh, sorry. Clowns. That's a different thing, yeah. Russell and Cindy are leaving 22 minutes later, 1:44 a.m., and Cindy is very attracted to Russell, and they have not had any romantic involvement, in case you guys were wondering. Russell has a quote saying that he's not traveling 40,000 kilometers to get any romantic involvement, essentially.
Which, again, you're really seeing what the producers want out of each of these teams.
And this is kind of an interesting dynamic between this team, this leg, where Cindy, we'll get to a little bit later, where Cindy's like kind of questioning whether it's like Russell is a good partner for her in this race. Yeah, but we'll get to that a little bit later. And okay, so we cut to the train station. The alliances is there of the top three teams, and Monica. And
well, they chose to go to one of the stations.
Yes,
because there was two. I don't know if we explained that, but there's two. What is it? One is closer, but the train leaves later, and the other's a little further away, but the train for Venice leaves sooner.
Yes.
So they went to the one that's closer, correct?
Yeah, I think so. But spoiler alert: none of this matters because they all get bunched up. Yeah, Monica and Sheree pull up to the train station, and they say, "Quote." If everybody catches up with us, some people are going to be really aggressive, so be aware. And I thought this was odd.
Yeah.
It's like, what are people going to be aggressive about? Well,
there was a debacle with the line here we will get to in a little bit.
Cut to Riken and Chip, who get going this leg, and say that they want to run an honorable race. However, comma.
Well, that was their plan, to run an honorable race.
After seeing people cut lines, they've changed their tune. And they're going to play dirty now. And they're going to cut some lines of their own this episode. And they're not going to be apologetic about it. Let me tell you that.
No, and they really go for it this episode, I will say.
Okay, David and Jeff, 3:08 a.m. are a strong team and will keep competing. Boring. Dave says...
I don't even know who that is. Are they like SoCal, the surfer guys?
Yeah. Dave says he wants to get rid of Riken and Chip. And Riken and Chip say that, quote... Weezer and Geezer, referring to Steve and Josh, tried to get them out on the first day and tried to screw them by buying tickets for Steve and Dave.
Yeah. I apologize to the viewer. This is a lot of the same name. We're going to try and like help you out as best, or the listener, sorry. We're going to try and help you out as best we can. But if you're not watching the show, this will be confusing.
Yeah. Okay. This is where the train station drama unfolds. When Riken and Chip arrive at the train station and they're told, you have to go to the back of the line. And they read the clue, they take a look, they say, well, it doesn't say on the clue, first come, first serve, ... And we're bigger. That was killing me. I was like, are you implying that you're willing to fight these people? And that, like, your sheer also, size isn't, is like, enough to, like...
Steve and Dave at the front of the line? Like, the guys with the bad knees?
Yes, I think so.
What does that say for your image? You're going to fight these two air traffic controllers with bad knees to get to the front of the line? And the thing is, they do go to the front of the line and hold on to the door.
Yeah, this was so, like, it was crazy. So, yeah, they're kind of taking a page out of Team Guido's book and just, like, standing directly in front of the doors. Like, when Team Guido was blocking the teams from, like, getting through customs or something. And then they get into a little argument with Steve and Dave about how they're just doing the same as what they did at the airport. And they just go back and forth a little bit. Because Steve's...
It's very childish. Yeah,
because both. It's like, Steve's backpack was there. So, therefore, Steve, like, has a place in line. But Chip doesn't care. Or Riken and Chip don't care because they're holding on to the door. And I just have some quotes. Quote, "Don't lecture me about your backpack. Do not push me. By the way, you don't have to hang on to the door. I'm gonna."
I feel like that sums it up pretty well.
Yeah, this is drama, but also ridiculous. How much of a difference would it make if you're the first one into the train station? Because, like, I would assume the door is open and everybody's, like, in the same boat, pretty much.
Well, and it doesn't really, because isn't this where teams get on a bus to Alpi?
Yes.
Alpi is the, just to refresh, is the train station that was further away, but the train to Venice leaves sooner.
Yeah. Yeah. So somebody figures out that there's a bus going there, and all of the teams, including Riken and Chip, who are clutching this door, decide to loosen their grip and leave with everybody else on the train, on the bus that goes to the train station.
So we've got 9 of the teams on there. The only two who we don't have are Tian and Jury. Is that their
names? Yes.
And then John and Al, correct?
John and Kelly.
John and Kelly.
Yeah, because John and Kelly took the bus to the train station, so they got there later than everybody else.
Yeah, anyways. Sorry.
Okay, so back to Tian and Jury. They're the last ones to depart, 3:43 a.m. And Tian thinks Jury is a liability because she can't run fast. Mary and Peach
The liabilities on this season. It's like travel and running. Like, yeah, those are going to be liabilities. I hate to tell you.
Yeah, yeah. And this is going to be a little point of a contention between the two of them where Jury feels like Tian is belittling her a lot and does not appreciate this. All right, so on the bus to the train station with these 9 teams, Russell turns to Riken and Chip to discuss what their next move is going to be. Meanwhile, Cindy is just sitting there idly, and she is offended because her own partner isn't even consulting her about what they're going to do.
She does not take well to this, and she talks to him after, even.
Yeah.
She sits him down for a little team meeting.
A team meeting. And, you know, I thought this was interesting because we got a little cutaway with Cindy saying, in an interview, saying she's, like, questioning whether Russell is a good partner with her, which is something we haven't had before. Where she's, like, saying, I don't know if, like, I should have gone on this race with Russell.
It's never been said before in that tone. There's been a lot of, like, maybe I don't like this person right now, or this person's annoying me right now. But it's never been, like, you are not the right person to be here for me.
Yeah. But, I mean, I feel like I'd have to imagine it's a pretty common thing of course. To happen. Like, even if it's not the case, like, I feel like people definitely think that a lot.
I would be surprised if they didn't.
So the front teams get on the Alpi train, and we see Tian and Jury, Kelly and John are on the slower train, and John says, quote, "I need to take a nap," and Kelly says, "John, you need to get to work and think about playing. You don't need a nap."
See, do you see why I liked them, though?
Yes. No, I do. I do see it. Cindy, this is where Cindy also confronts Russell about him talking down to her and being condescending, and then when she's having this kind of confrontation with him, the camera pans over to Cherie and Monica, who have their hands covering their mouths, like trying not to laugh and just loving the drama. I loved it. And Cindy says, quote, "I wasn't planning on getting mean, but if you talk down to me one more time," so she's going to get mean. Okay, first train arrives at 8:18 a.m. in Venice, and the teams get to the bridge where we have a detour.
Waterway or pathway? I was impressed with this. I liked the options.
Yeah, well, you know, it's when you're in Venice, of course, it's going to be a gondola task. So they're for waterway, they are on a Venetian gondola, and they have to travel using a map to tell the gondolier where to go. They can't ask for directions from locals, and they can only use their map. Whereas in pathway, they have to walk the confusing paths of Venice, and they can ask for directions from locals.
And I honestly, I don't know if this was you and I, which one would we do? Because I just feel like you have more control on your feet.
Yeah, I think so too. But with the way everybody arrives, with the waterway, I think what ends up happening is that all teams just kind of like follow each other. Like, it's not really...
They all just kind of hop into the gondolas and they also just follow each other in them.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting also that they're like manipulating the teams' abilities to use locals within tasks. Saying like, you can't talk to locals, or like, you can talk to locals for this. Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
I liked that. It made it more interesting. And it also just... Because has that been regulated up to this point?
I don't think so. But I think it's a pretty even detour. Like, I don't think you could go wrong, per se, by choosing one over the other.
Yeah.
Okay, all of the teams on the first train, so all of those 9 teams, do the gondola, except for Millie and Chuck, who decide to do the pathway because all of the other teams were doing the boats and were ahead of them.
And they honestly, they don't do too bad here.
Yeah. I thought it was an interesting decision because it's like, okay, if everybody's doing this, we can do the other side of the detour and try and like see if we can do this faster and kind of separate us from the pack rather than like we know we're in last if we do the gondola task.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I thought that was fun for Millie and Chuck. Absolutely. And okay, we go to the boats. Chris says, give me this because you suck at this, referring to the map and Amanda. Amanda says, this is so cool. Chris says, it's not cool if we're in last.
Honestly, great line.
Yeah. Amanda says she doesn't care if the streets were faster because she's glad she gets to experience being on a gondola in Venice.
What is it? It's like, how does she phrase it? I meant to write it down. I didn't. Something about like, it's just so beautiful. Like, you just forget about the race, or it's not all about winning. And he's just like, whatever.
Oh yeah. It's not about the destination for Amanda. It's about the journey. It really is. But you know what? I think this is like kind of valid. If you're with the pack, it's like, just do the cooler experience.
That's honestly, yeah.
Yeah, even if you think the other one's faster, it's like, sure. Okay, Millie and Chuck, they find a fern who leads them to the route marker.
We love a fern.
We love a fern here. So I think Millie and Chuck actually do get the clue faster than all of the teams who did the gondola task.
Yes, and this next clue directs them to their roadblock, which is a party but doesn't open till 5 p.m., which means another muster point.
Yeah, because mind you, the train arrived at 8 a.m.
So you've got like all this time, and you know that the other two teams are going to catch up. You've already got 9 teams bunched together at the front.
Which is like, really? Come on. Because it just like renders everything else prior to this as useless. It's like, what was the whole point of all that? If like the whole entire leg is going to come down to this one thing. Which, you know what? It's fun for this roadblock because people do make mistakes, and it was a little bit more tricky.
Yes, I agree.
Skill-based than some of the other things. But yes, not great overall.
We should talk about as well, while these teams are doing the gondolas and stuff, Steve and Dave go for the fast forward, which I didn't love the fast forward task, but whatever.
So before we see that, we actually see Tian and Jiri arguing about whether they should do the fast forward because they know that they're behind, right? So they're thinking it's between them and Kelly and John. So they're thinking they should do the fast forward, and Tian says, you can't keep up with Kelly and John in a foot race. Every foot race we've done, you're always in the back.
Coming for her.
Yeah, and this is where Jerise says that Tian is judging her. Something, not because like she thinks she's bad, but just like to make herself look
like,
good.
She's like talking about like how she only talks about like, she only talks down on me to make herself look better.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of interesting. And like to make herself look better like television wise.
I don't know. It's a brutal dynamic.
Yeah. And Jerise says, quit trying to demean me, okay? So they're going at it. The second train arrives, 9:30 a.m. And right. Okay, so this is where we see Steve and Dave. They get this segment. So I think they find the clue, and there's like this swanky like saxophone jazzy music in the back. It's like, it was so bizarre. And just for them to say that they can't keep up because of their knees, so they're going to go for the fast forward.
It's like, okay.
For the fast forward, they have to join a traditional Italian comedy skit, which is being performed on the street, in which the fast forward will magically appear.
See, I don't, like, it was a cool piece of kind of the culture, but I didn't love the task because they didn't have to do anything.
Yeah, one of them was just, like, laying on a table, and then the performer was, like, performing surgery on them, pulling out his intestines, and at the end of his intestine was the clue.
It was like the magic trick where like the never ending whatever handkerchief out of the sleeve. Except it was just pulling fake organs out of his body.
Yes.
Okay. So I didn't love it, but nevertheless, Steve and Dave get the fast forward and they go to the pit stops in Padua, which if you know Venice, you'll know that Venice was built on the lagoon and Padua's on the mainland just across from it there. But it seems like the boat is kind of on the edge of Venice looking out to Padua. I don't know. I couldn't quite tell.
So yes, yeah, they do go to the pit stop where the boat is and they are in first place, receiving no prize.
Well, and this was sent to us by a lovely email. I forget who it was from. Maybe
not via YouTube comments.
Oh, no, someone via YouTube comments. My bad. Because I know last episode we made a remark or two about how there were three prize winners. And apparently the sponsors were not very happy about three people in number one.
I mean, which makes sense to me because they were probably only budgeting for one.
But oh my God, it's not like these companies don't have the money. Come on.
Yeah. What is it? Freaking Travelocity or something.
What?
Isn't that a sponsor of the Amazing Race like nowadays, Travelocity?
Maybe. I couldn't tell you.
Let me just search this up quickly.
Fun fact about Venice as well. Venice was built using about roughly 10 million trees as the basis for Venice. The buildings, are, like I said, were built on a lagoon from people who were fleeing Rome and so therefore went to Venice. And initially it was this lagoon in the middle of the ocean, like sea, salty water. And so what ended up happening is they would take the tree trunks and then put it down into the water, but the clay at the bottom of the lagoon would just stick to the bottom of the tree trunks, suck all the air out of it. So these logs would basically solidify and become basically stone. So if you look under Venice right now, like there's, you can see like diagrams, you can't really see photos, but it's just all these like hardened wooden logs that are basically hard as stone. Little fun fact.
Wow, that's actually cool. Okay.
Shout out to my art history class.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
That's also another fun fact there. That's also why frescoes in Venice have a hard time surviving is because of the salt air, because you're in the middle of the ocean. So a lot of frescoes there have either been lost or are moved to be preserved. But on the other side, Venetians, their paintings, especially from the Renaissance era, have a lot of color. And you'll notice this in compared to like the Florentine painters, which was all the same era, the Renaissance era. But it's because Venice was a travel hub, so you could more readily and easily get pigments to make very brightly colored paintings.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, I'm learning so much about Venice today.
I know. I had a whole lecture on it.
Wow. Okay. And it's really coming in handy here.
Yeah. So honestly, again, I took one, in my life I've taken one class in art history, but I retained all of it. Highly recommend.
Okay. Art History 101, taught by Jill next year. Be there, be square.
Exactly. Anyway, Andrew, I was kind of doing that to stall while you looked something up. So let's go back to your thing.
Okay, Travelocity. It's like it's not even anything important.
I'm over here lecturing on the Italian Renaissance, and we go back to Travelocity.
Okay, well, Travelocity was a sponsor, longtime sponsor of the show from season 1 till season 34, before being replaced by parent company Expedia. So I think the prize was from Travelocity.
Okay.
I think.
Didn't know that.
So yeah. Okay. Steve and Dave, first place. Congratulations to you guys. Your knees can rest. Hopefully you can recover for the next leg.
Also, I just have to add, Phil greeting them is the first time I've ever heard him greet a team with enthusiasm. Because usually no matter what place it is, it's like, your team number one, your team number two. He goes, your team number one. And I was like, oh we have okay, a little more enthusiasm from Phil.
Cool. Well, maybe he's a huge fan of Steve and Dave.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? Okay, so we go to Tian and Jiri, who are in the gondola. And while they're in there, Tian goes, we're in Venice. I hope we actually get to see it. And then Jiri goes, well, you're seeing it right now. I don't know what point she was trying to make with.
It's like, Venice, like, yeah, there are some iconic landmarks. But I feel like Venice is so great because you're always experiencing Venice, you know? Like, it's not like some cities where you can go to them, but you can just be in the middle of a residential area and you're not really experiencing.
Yeah, like, it's not very city. Big, is it?
But it's basically like there's one big S that runs through the middle of it. And that's like the big bridge is kind of on that, like Rialto Bridge, I guess you could say, is the big attraction. But you're in canals. Like, you're always experiencing Venice. It's not like you go to, like, you know, you could be in New York, but if you're in the middle of, like, the suburbs of New York where you don't see anything other than buildings, right. It's just like, well, I could be in 10 other cities right now. You can't have that with Venice.
Yeah. Kelly and John decide to do the walking portion of the detour, and they're not really functioning well. They're lost in the streets of Venice.
Rightfully so.
John is kind of going and just, like, doing his thing, and Kelly is fed up. She says, at least talk to me instead of saying, I've got it. Because you don't got it. Hello, it's not just you around here.
And then she goes, what direction are we going? And he stares at the compass. And at the same time, she goes, we're going. And they both go west. And she's like, yeah, we need to go east.
Yeah. So not great for them. And they're in last at this point. But
yes.
All teams do make it to the Palazzo di Mosto, which is where the roadblock is and where this little club is. Where their roadblock is going
to
be.
And here's the thing. Their roadblock starts at 5. Some teams decide to go and sightsee, which I won't fault them for. But the thing is, they come back and the other teams have decided
they're camping.
Forming a line. So they are now behind. And honestly, placement will be crucial in this task.
Very, very crucial. Yeah. And a lot of line drama this season. Very unprecedented.
I don't know if I like or not. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I guess it's like can provide some good commentary about like the social construction of lines, I suppose. And how they're like kind of arbitrary in a sense.
We're not looking for social commentary. It's the Amazing Race.
Or it could just be used as like a springboard and a jumping off point, perhaps. I don't know.
Are you off the rails? That was crazy. You just went from lines to social commentary on lines.
Well, I mean, because lines, like, they don't actually mean anything, but they do hold so much weight in our societies. Like, you don't disrespect a line. If someone's at the front, they're at the front.
Anyway, tune into Andrew's own podcast next week for social commentary on lines.
Yeah, I think there could be a lot, like, there might be a master's thesis in there. I don't know. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I don't know what was going on here, but the circus clowns, they fake cry, staring directly into the camera, like, very animatedly.
I didn't understand.
Yeah, I didn't think it was in good taste. I didn't like it.
Yeah. Honestly, I guess at this point we can just explain the roadblock, because everyone is there waiting at this point. And I liked this roadblock. I think it was well set up. It was a cool concept and it was fun.
Do we know what the prompt was? I don't know if they told us.
And I don't think so, no. It was all this talk about the party.
Okay, so the task is they receive a photograph at the door and they go through various rooms of the palazzo to search for the mask that is in the picture. So it's like kind of like a masquerade ball where all these people are different wearing these elaborate, I guess, traditional Venetian masks. Supposedly, and they have to find the person who's wearing the mask that matches the picture that they are holding. But a lot of the masks are very similar to one another or have similar features or colors or stuff like that.
You have to pay attention to the intricate details, because also you have your photo and you can go up to someone and be like, oh, you have, you know, this is you.
Yes.
But if it's wrong, they snatch your photo
and walk away from you in silence, and you have to stand there and leave.
And you are booted to the back of the line.
Yeah. And this is where I was really applauding the producers or whoever comes up with the tasks. And that deciding that only 4 people can enter at a time. Because I feel like before this, they would have said everybody can go at once. But making 4 people go at a time and like having the ability for people to get it wrong and having to go to the back of the line makes it a lot more interesting.
Yes. And I liked this task a lot, actually. I really did.
Okay, so teams get going. I think Monica and Cherie are one of the first teams to get going. And I guess Monica is doing this. And she describes this task as, quote, extremely harder than it seems.
I think this is one of those tasks where you don't really know how good you would be until you're doing it. Because it's like it's attention to detail, but it's also chance. Because you could just by chance, when you first walk in, you could just walk by the person who has the mask. Like, it's a mixed bag.
Yeah, and I think it's a little bit more difficult when you're the first one going, because I think you're like rushing it a little bit more, because this is what happens with Josh, is he is a little bit trigger happy with this, I guess, and gets his photo rejected and has to go to the back of the line, which is really not great for them.
Yeah.
And okay, during this roadblock, there's like all these echoey laughs. It's like kind of creepy, and there's this like haunting organ music playing in the back.
I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was great. They did a really great vibe curation here.
Vibe curation, also known as building a soundtrack.
Yeah, well, you know what? Absolutely. Chip is the first to get it. Yeah, we just see a bunch of people getting it. So Chip gets it, followed by Russell, followed by Tian. Okay, Chris now makes a big show that he's going to do the roadblock and not Amanda, because Amanda can't handle the pressure. So he's going to really put his big boy pants on and do this one for the team.
Yeah, he says that she, at this point, doesn't know if she can handle such a high-stress, high-pressure situation, so he's going to take over.
So at this, yeah, and right after this task is the pit stop. So if you get it, you're on your way to the pit stop, and you're like pretty much safe if you're one of the first teams to get it.
But the thing is, you're all kind of racing each other, in a sense, to the pit stop. So
Jeff gets it, John gets it, and we get a cut to Cherie, who's...
She was the first in there, or like one of the first.
Yeah. So no, Cherie was the one not doing it, and she was kind of panicking because Monica...
Oh, right, sorry.
...was the second one in there, but has yet to come out, and all these people have passed them. Okay, Chris gets his photo rejected and has to go to the back of the line, and Josh is probably clapping like a seal about that one. Kelly and John... But no, John got it already, and Kelly and John are doing this thing with their compass. They're still arguing over this compass on the way to the pit stop. Josh does now get it, and it is down to Chris, Monica, Al, and Millie at this roadblock.
Yeah, two of the stronger players, honestly, Monica and Cherie and Millie and Chuck, are now near the back.
Well, yeah, and Chris and Amanda were in that power alliance at the beginning.
I know. It, like, that's what I mean. Everything really, really just kind of turned upside down.
Yeah. Okay, so we see some teams checking into the pit stop. Riken and Chip are in second. Kelly and John in third. Tian and Jeri in fourth. Huge bounce back for them. And you're shaking your head.
No comment.
David and Jeff are in fifth. And we see Millie completes the roadblock and Al completes the roadblock. So it's between Chris of Amanda and Chris and Monica of Cherie and Monica at the roadblock.
Yes. And I don't, at this point, I kind of knew who was going to be. I just had a feeling.
You had a feeling. Okay. I think I kind of did too. Maybe it was the way that they edited it.
Well, yeah.
Okay. So ultimately Monica completes the roadblock, leaving Chris there on his own. But he does complete it right after her, or so it seems. They make it seem like he completes it like immediately after her, but we don't know how long it truly took. It could have been close. Who knows? Okay, just to go back to read through these other teams. John and Al are in sixth, and they made up a lot of time. Because they left the roadblock late, but they ended up in sixth. Russell and Cindy in seventh, Millie and Chuck in eighth, Steve and Josh in ninth. They got lost on their way to the pit stop. And yeah, Monica and Cherie arrived there in 10th. And I thought the music here was great.
I didn't pay attention to it, honestly.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, it was good. And we go to Amanda and Chris, who are eliminated.
Honestly, they weren't that impactful. I don't remember a ton about them. Or not that I don't remember a ton. They're not a memorable team, I would say.
You know what? I was shocked to see them out this early, because I thought they were kind of being built up to be one of the bigger teams of the season, being like in this power alliance. They were at the front, they were getting like this, all this airtime with them bickering and stuff like that.
But they also I feel like now they're tending to give a lot of airtime to teams who are going out quicker.
Yeah, that could be it too.
I don't know.
Yeah, but with that being said, not too upset to see them go.
No, and next week looks the preview for next week is crazy. It's like Millie's having an asthma attack, but then she's beating Chuck like on the head to get, beating Chip in the head to get into a carriage and calling him a jerk.
Like a horse-drawn carriage or something, yeah.
So next week should be fun.
And we have bungee jumping also.
That we do.
Final words from Amanda and Chris. Amanda says, quote, "He's still a little jerk, but I love him." Quote, "I think we did good." Cut to credits.
Okay. Do with that what you will.
Yeah, okay. Amanda and Chris, goodbye.
Yeah, and with that is season 4, episode 2. If you have any comments or insider info or anything, please let us know. AmazingRaceRewind@gmail.com. I know I plugged this last episode. I'll plug it again. We have opened a, what's it called? The Buy Me a Coffee platform that we're using, like I said, kind of as a blog page in a way. Like we'll post on there when we post new episodes. So if you want post kind of a post notification system, you can give us a follow on there. And yeah.
You can rate us, please, on the podcast or Spotify. 5 stars. Leave us some comments, thoughts, etc.
We love hearing from you guys. We really do.
We truly, truly do. Yeah, it's always a big thing when we receive an email. We really appreciate it. And yeah, it actually does mean a lot to us. Sincerely.
Anyway, have a great day. And we will see you next week for episode 3.
Bye now.
Bye.